You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
They're saying I should think stuff. Something is wrong with me.
To be so cynical.
Practice.
Welcome to Positive. That's right, it's Positive Cynicism. And, you know, the month of August for me has been all about positivity. I've been sending positive tweets to people, with the exception of Kevin Hunsberger, the host of My 1-2-3 Cents here on jitterymonkey.com. But that's just an in-joke between he and I. Everything else for this month has been all about positivity. It's spreading positivity. It's doing something positive for society, I guess, or for the world. Just trying to make my little piece of the world a better place. So I encourage you as a listener, try that out. Do something positive. You know, we say it at the end of every show here, and it's not just a catchphrase. We totally mean that. And by if you want to do something positive, you can check out the other shows here at jitterymonkey.com. As the aforementioned My 1-2-3 Cents, and then there's also Nerds United and the Five Heart Podcast. And if you really want to be super positive, you'll click over at jitterymonkey.com, hit the shop button, and buy some merchandise to support your fellow lonely, struggling by podcasters. I can't beg any harder. So yes, please do something positive. We're going to take a commercial break, and then on the flip side, be back with Eric Bennett, our fan expert. We're going to discuss movie trailers and how we know everything about a movie before we even see the movie, and whether that's a good or bad thing. Stick around.
Hey everyone, Kevin Hunsberger here from My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, and my123cents.com. Every Monday, a new episode drops with the latest news and happenings in the world of professional wrestling. Head to the archives and listen to interviews with legends of the ring like Double J, Jeff Jarrett, Mick Foley, Kamala, and Dan the Beast Severin. Current superstars like Sheamus, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston have been part of the discussion too. Again, it's My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, a wrestling fan's perspective. Thanks for listening.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, the next chapter in the Star Wars saga, Return of the Jedi. The battle between good and evil rages on. Join the further adventures of Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Princess Leia, Lando Calrissian, Chewbacca, C-3PO and R2-D2, and Darth Vader. A journey to alien worlds.
It's a trap.
A rebellion against oppression. An epic of heroes and villains. An adventure as vast as the universe. Return of the Jedi. Coming to a selected theater in your galaxy.
You know, we still have not really come up with a good name, good title for these episodes, editions of Positive Cynicism, which maybe we should do a contest and let you, the listener, come up with a name. So if you have a suggestion for our pop culture fandom episodes, send it in to us. You can hit me up on Twitter at Chad Smart. You can go over to Facebook, Positive Cynicism, and that's all you need to know. Give us a name. But I am here with our fan expert, Eric Bennett, once again. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And as we've done the past 2 years on this show, which I can't believe this show has been around that long, but last month, the month of June or July, I don't even know what month I am, but July of 2019, after we had recorded the previous episode, you headed down to San Diego, as you do every year, for a little small get-together of fans called the San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes, I think year 50. I'm always forgetting what year it is, but I think it's 15 or so. And it was not so interesting this year. I'd have to say it was in my bottom quarter of Comic-Con experiences, which I would not say was negative because I always suggest that people go there. But with all the studios pulling out, and I don't know if we talked about that anticipation of going to Comic-Con, but there wasn't a buzz off the convention, and possibly the studios maybe deciding that, and I'm hearing they're not really getting a lot of money off of coming down because it takes millions of dollars to bring the cast and put up $10 million booths or whatever. So there, like, Star Wars wasn't there, and I believe, I'm not sure if Universal was there, but Paramount showed up with Top Gun and Terminator, and that was kind of it. So Marvel did something where they were showing what they were going to have with, like, signage of the movie titles, but there wasn't anything big that occurred. So a lot of my Comic-Con experience was kind of running around and going to smaller stuff, which is fun, and shopping, and some offsites and partying, which is always good there. So it's always worth it, but there wasn't that thing. And on Sunday, I was kind of ready to come home because there wasn't that thing that I was buzzing off of for the convention. So it's kind of a down year, I would say, in terms of big, high-profile stuff.
Okay, I think we've mentioned before about how Disney had seemed to be pulling back from stuff because they have their own D23. But then it's also looking at, I guess, the upcoming slate of films of what is going to be, you know, what to promote. And Marvel having just finished Endgame.
Yeah.
And nothing really, I mean, as far as I know, they don't even have films ready to go in the next year. Like, they're either just now shooting or prepping. But I was surprised that they laid out Phase 4 and Phase 5.
Yeah.
Which includes a lot of Disney Plus streaming shows. So were you at the Marvel panel, or did you know that was going to happen?
You know, what's interesting is I actually skipped the Marvel panel because I had a feeling they were just going to announce stuff, and that's pretty much, from what I've heard, what happened. So they couldn't show anything. So it's clear that Marvel's taking a break after Endgame. They've probably been working their tails off, and it was all leading up to that. And they made their $2 billion, and they're basically saying, next year we'll have stuff for you. And the Disney Plus stuff, I read about what they were going to announce, and it was like, I don't care about any of it. Like, Hawkeye, I don't know if the Black Widow is a movie or a Disney Plus. I think it's a movie.
It's a movie, yeah.
But there's, like, WandaVision, and it's like, I'm not getting excited about any of the stuff. I'm more excited. We talked about The Mandalorian, so that will be something I will subscribe to. That's one of the reasons. But it just, again, there's really nothing. Okay, there's another Black Panther. There's another Doctor Strange. I'll probably see all of them. But this is more of the same. What I'm really excited about was the Fox acquisition. And that means Fantastic Four, and hopefully that means Galactus, which is my favorite villain of all time. But he's very close to Thanos. So I heard them say they were working on it, but they didn't show anything. They haven't cast it. I've heard rumors. So again, all this stuff is in flux. And what they announced, I didn't get worked up over. But if they relaunch X-Men and do Fantastic Four properly, that's the most exciting thing. This is kind of would be new-ish for Marvel to kind of clean that up and figure it out.
Yeah. So what was your, I guess, highlight, or what was the favorite thing that you witnessed, saw, learned?
Well, I was after Matt Berry, who's this British comedian from the IT Crowd, and Garth Marenghi, and I lost the lottery to meet him. So I basically just crashed the booth and just kind of yelled at him, and he kind of talked back a little bit. So it was kind of exciting to see Matt Berry. I don't think he's ever been at the Comic-Con, this obscure British comedian, to a lot of people here. He's not obscure over there. And then I met the guy that did Samurai Jack, who is Jendi Tarkovsky. And he did The Clone Wars, which is an awesome 2D Japanese-style animated. It looks a lot like Samurai Jack. So I met him, and I actually won that through Adult Swim. So he was super nice. It was fun to meet, like, an actual animator and creator. It's pretty legendary. And I think those were the highlights. And then just being with people was fun. We were staying on Catalina Island, which is not a great way to go to the Comic-Con. So that kind of affected our experience a little bit. But it was kind of fun to get off the island and meet up people. And we hosted a party at one of our friends' hotel's rooms. And we went to a Star Wars disco party organized by the 501st. You know, the legendary group worldwide that does all the charities. And that was a ton of fun. So my wife dressed up as Princess Leia and all this stuff. So it wasn't so much the shopping was actually good. I'll mention that one more time. So I got a Xerxes comic book that Frank Miller had a cover just for the convention. Alex Ross, multi-million dollar comic book artist, wasn't there. But I bought a whole comic book signed by him. So really good collectibles, but the actual panels and all that, not that good. Oh, we did see The Dark Crystal, which looks amazing.
Is that the Netflix show?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that, for any of you Dark Crystal fans out there, ooh, you're going to like it. You're going to like it a lot. Like, I was so happy with the puppets and the CG enhancements to the environments, and it has a huge scope. We saw the pilot episode, which isn't out, I think, for another month. Okay. So that was exciting. But then again, no major buzz around what I just said, so.
Yeah. What about the Kevin Smith panel?
Oh, the one that when Marvel clears out, no one goes to?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't attend Marvel, and I wasn't part of that sad thing, but I'd love to meet him, and I think I've actually seen one of those, and he's really funny and engaging. He knows that world really well. Yeah. So,
did you see the trailer for Jay and Silent Bob reboot?
No, I don't care for those characters. Okay. I may have mentioned, but I'm not a huge Kevin Smith fan. But I love that he has this following. That's really cool.
All right. Well, we're going to segue off of Comic-Con and get into this month's topic, because it kind of goes hand in hand with Comic-Con. And I was thinking back my childhood days when I really started getting into film, you know, like the early 80s and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being a huge Star Wars fan, as you and I have discussed on the show many times. We mm-hmm. both kind of grew up with that. After Empire Strikes Back, you knew that there had to be another film, but you didn't know when it was going to be. You didn't know anything. I just remember, I think, finally on the Today Show, seeing like a teaser of the trailer. And see, I don't know why this is still in my brain, but I can see C-3PO and R2-D2 falling off the sail barge at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
And then I remember magazine covers with Star Wars. But I didn't know. I mean, I don't even remember when I actually found out that the original title was Revenge of the Jedi mm-hmm. instead of Return. It was just something where, at that time, you would go to the theater and you would see a trailer and you'd be like, oh, okay, I want to see that movie. Or for me, I was also reading, because I was really into horror films, I was reading Fangoria.
Yeah.
I was reading Starlog. Trying to think, I wasn't really reading Premiere. That was more the upscale,
mm-hmm.
bourgeois film. But I guess we'll start off. Was that similar to your childhood experience? Like, how did you know about films coming out?
Yeah, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, because my memory gets hazy, but I remember a lot of the trailers were shown for movies that were coming up pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So right now we're seeing teasers for movies that are out 6 months to a year sometimes. And I remember being in a movie, and the first time you'd hear about another movie would be seeing the trailer, and then that movie was coming up soon because they wanted it fresh in your brain. Mm-hmm. Now they're doing something completely different, which is our topic, which is like they're trying to condition the audience to look forward to something way down the line, which builds a hype cycle. Mm-hmm. So this is coming off the conventions, and now the conventions might be lessening on that, but they might, they're using the fans and the blogs to create this tidal wave, which is leading to a lot of disappointment, which we can get into. But I remember back in the day, it was just a trailer for something that was coming out pretty soon. And like you said, if it was a fan magazine, I remember going to Empire or hearing about Empire Strikes Back. And the only thing I remember from that movie before I saw it, which is really a good thing, was that I heard the name Yoda. That's it. No one knew who Yoda was. And then I believe with Revenge of the Jedi, they changed the name because it gave away a little bit of the end, because he gets his revenge or wins the day or whatever, which should be pretty obvious based on the storyline. But I don't remember hearing anything other than that about that movie. So yeah, we were in the dark, which we'll talk about, but that's probably a good way to see a movie, is not knowing a whole lot going into it. Except I am also victim of doing the other thing, which we'll talk about, which is getting hyped up.
Hype up, which now, you know, obviously back in the 80s, we also didn't have the internet, where we didn't have access to news 24/7. And you talk about trailers. I in commercials for films, you know, TV spots, I don't even remember them being as plentiful as they are now. It might be like, you know, back in the day, the three major networks would show a Hollywood movie on like Saturday night mm-hmm. or Sunday night. And I think you might see a preview for something, like you said, coming up in the next month that was similar to or from the same studio. But now you turn on, it seems like almost every other commercial break has a trailer for the next big thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting with Star Wars, and that a lot of people have some mixed feelings about what Disney's done with it. So, and I went to Star Wars Celebration in Chicago, which I know we talked about briefly in the past, but they're pulling back a little bit. They're saying, hey, Star Wars has lost a little bit of luster, so let's not show a whole lot. We'll see what happens with D23 in a couple of weeks. There'll be something for that. But they're not blitzing us like they used to. And they canceled their standalones. They're showing a little bit of The Mandalorian back at Celebration. Now they'll probably show a little bit more at D23, but they're breathing a little more because they believe that audiences are burned out, and they want that mystery and that hype, which we grew up. I mean, the hype of waiting but maybe not knowing what's going on. So I think studios are going to play with that a little bit, but you know, you got movies like It Chapter 2, which will probably have web marketing and maybe some viral stuff. Obviously, you'll see a bunch of YouTube, you know, ads and banners. And what are your personal feelings? Do you feel like all that blitzing before you see a movie is good, or is that a bad thing?
It depends on the film, because mm-hmm. if it's a movie that I already know that I want to see, I want to stay away from it. Like I said, mm-hmm. for Force Awakens and Last Jedi, I tried to avoid all trailers, other than having to be in a theater. I know when I saw Ant-Man, they showed one of the trailers. I believe it's probably Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Given that. And so that was the first time I'd seen the trailer. Like, I had avoided it at all cost. If it's a movie that I don't really care about, I'll watch the trailer because it might hype me up.
Yeah.
Case in point, I'll throw out a little plug. I just saw the Peanut Butter Falcon last night as we record this.
Oh, okay. What's that?
It's a new Shia LaBeouf, Dakota Johnson film.
Oh.
I did not know anything about it other than I found out about it like last week. And I found out because WWE has invited the main actor to be their guest at WrestleMania in Tampa next year.
Oh, wow.
Because the film is about a mentally handicapped kid who runs away to try to go to this wrestling school.
Yeah, I saw that trailer.
Okay.
It looked good.
It is hands down my favorite film of the year right now.
Good.
I really love, and I think it's because I've been on this positivity kick this month, but it really hit home and just like, you know, showed like, but it's also this small indie film that will probably make maybe $10 million total when it comes out, because even though he was in the first three Transformer movies, Shia LaBeouf's not a huge name, and he was also in, I think he was in an Indiana Jones movie that I don't think ever came out. And then And then Dakota Johnson was in the 50 Shade movie, but I don't think she's a name as well.
And then the actor in that movie you're talking about, that is the actor with Down syndrome, right? Yeah.
And he was really good.
I know with Shia, it's worthy you mentioned that, and it ties into what we're talking about. There's a trailer on iTunes that if you're into checking out a trailer before a movie comes out, it's about his life and he plays his dad. Oh, that looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like this, Shia could be a major force creatively if he's going to be this bold about his past. He's doing this movie that you're talking about. He's just an interesting guy. I mean, he did that thing where he sat in and watched his own movies mm-hmm. for 24 hours plus or whatever it was. And he was in that tank movie. Do you remember the name of that?
Oh, Fury.
Yeah, I didn't care for that movie too much, but he knocked out one of his teeth because the actor was missing a tooth. Mm-hmm. I mean, sorry, the character was missing a tooth. So, like, he's an interesting guy, and I think he could be a goldmine for, like, really interesting small projects. And I think this is where I do like the trailers, because I saw that one, what'd you call it, Honey Boy?
Yeah.
I saw that trailer, and I immediately wanted to go see it.
Yeah.
Now, if I had not seen a trailer, I'd have to rely on you or someone else telling me about it.
And that's the thing where I saw that trailer before Peanut Butter Falcon. I'd never heard this movie. I'm like, oh, okay. And it is very intriguing.
Yeah.
And I don't know when the movie comes out. But, again, it's a movie that's not going to get the blitz because it's not a major studio film. But it looks really interesting. And I think also just because of everything that the major studios are putting out is very, for lack of a better term, generic.
Yeah.
And this looks like a more character study piece, understated, which, again, is not going to hit, you know, home with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that has a feeling of a movie that, so we're exiting the summer, so all the dopey movies are winding down, and then the studios are dumping trash, I think, at the moment. And this is, I'm sure the audience realizes, it's a pretty common cycle in Hollywood. And then when it gets to the fall, all the weepers come out in Oscar bait. And I think this movie that we're talking about, the Shia LaBeouf autobiographical, whatever, he's playing his dad, dealing with him as, you know, a younger version of himself, that's probably Oscar bait stuff, but it could be really good because it looks good. So this is when us adults sometimes like when the summer season ends, because we get past the junk period where we can see something good, but then sometimes it's too weighty for the Oscars. And this is where, again, the trailers, I believe, do help, because then you discover things. And maybe the Shia LaBeouf movie that you saw in this new one, maybe they don't have any marketing money, like you said, and maybe they just release a trailer and then people talk about it. So that's pretty exciting that a trailer can get audiences, and they don't have to spend a bunch of money to do it, and people just discover it that way.
Which I think was the original intent of the trailer. Because again, if you are going to a movie or going to movies on a regular basis, you see trailers, and especially the theater that I saw Peanut Butter Falcon, theater here in Los Angeles called the Landmark. It's more.
Ooh, of I a, like that one.
It's more of an indie film.
Yeah.
Low, and so great. all the trailers were films that I had never heard of. There's a new Renee Zellweger movie coming out called Judy, where she plays Judy Garland. Oh, yeah,
that looks good.
I did not recognize Renee Zellweger.
Yeah, that could be good.
And so, the same day that I saw Peanut Butter Falcon, I saw that at night. In the morning, I went and saw Dora and the Lost City of Gold, based on the Dora the Explorer cartoon.
Okay. We'll have to talk about that off air.
I'm
curious as to why.
I really enjoyed it, and I said it's a mashup of Goonies and Last Crusade for a young generation.
That's good, though. So, yeah, aimed at kids. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, so I realize I'm not the target audience, and I snuck in after the lights had gone down so that, you know, people there with kids.
All right, Landmark, you have to go after them.
Yeah. But for that movie, it was all the trailers were like, you know, movies aimed towards, I guess, kids or family entertainment.
Yeah,
like
that needs to be there. I mean, yeah, we're not the intended audience. We can talk about some of those movies, like The Lion King. That's another thing, since we're talking about trailers. Mm-hmm. I saw the trailer and I was like, is this the animated movie? It looks the same. And then everyone I know who saw it is kind of disappointed because they just remade it. Did you see
Lion King? The first hour of it.
Oh, then what happened?
Then I was like, yep, this is what I thought it was. And yeah. I was bored. I mean, I saw it because it was a free screening. Mm. Normally, if I pay for a movie, I will stick. Even if I dislike it, I will watch the whole thing. But if it's a free screening, I have no problem getting up and walking out. So I stayed up until Hakuna Matata and then left. But it basically followed all the same beats. It looks really good visually. Yeah. But it also looks really weird because the animals don't emote the same way as a cartoon
animal does. They're like lions. Like, yeah. Lions look ferocious when they're like waking up. So I saw some footage of, I think Beyonce came out as a lioness or whatever. And she came out and she started singing or something. Yeah. And I was like, that doesn't look right at all. Like, none of that looks right. It looks like a ferocious creature busting out in a song. And this is bizarre and I don't like it. So I'm going to watch it. I'm letting the hype down. The trailers let me down a little bit. And I'm not hearing great things. So I think I'm definitely going to watch it when it comes out on home video. But that was going to be a day one movie for me, but I don't know. It doesn't strike me right, that movie.
No, it kind of tangenting here. The Disney remakes, because I did not see Cinderella, and I did not see Beauty and the Beast.
Ooh, that's a bad one.
But I did Aladdin, same thing, free screening, saw the first hour, and then went, okay, it's basically the same thing. And I mean, visually, it was really good looking, and Will Smith actually did a decent job. You know, but he's going to be compared to Robin Williams.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why, if you're remaking it, why you're just remaking the movie that you already made. If you're not adding anything new or changing up the story yet. And there's been a lot of controversy recently because they're doing Little Mermaid and they cast...
African-American R&B singer?
Yeah. Halle Berry. I think it's Haley Berry.
Yeah, I saw that. And everyone's upset about that, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's like, if you are going to do a whole new story with those characters, that's one thing. But if you're just regurgitating what you've already done, I don't see the point.
Yeah, I mean, I think we may have talked about this. I don't have a huge problem with it because I believe that they remake this stuff for new generations of kids. And if it's pretty lazy on their part, but if kids get enjoyment out of it or they discover a story they weren't aware of before, and a lot of kids are aesthetically more into this realistic stuff and they've gotten much more sophisticated, and that's why I think 3D animation has taken off, because they're not going to watch these old... I mean, they probably... And correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a parent, so there's probably a lot of parents out there like, wait a second, I got VCRs of Little Mermaid and they love it. So that's fantastic because I'm a 2D animation fan, but I'm okay with them releasing it. I don't find it very compelling for me. Like you said, I'd probably walk out or not watch them as well. Again, I'm not the target. But if a kid can kind of discover the Lion King for the first time, and they're honoring the spirit of it, being lazy, copying it, that's okay if they enjoy it. I do agree with you, though. Like, and I haven't seen Mary Poppins Returns. I have that on my queue. But I think that's like a different part of the story, and that seems exciting to me because at least it's not – you can't say it's the exact same thing. So, yeah, Disney, do more of that, or like – maybe the Lion King movie should have been like what happens after, where maybe there's another challenger or something. Like, just continue the story.
Yeah. Like I said, my big question coming out of Lion King was, what is Scar's name before he got the scar? Or was that just a well-timed name or well-intentioned name, knowing that at some point he would be in a battle and get scarred?
Yeah, it's a little on the nose.
Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't seen The Lion King since it came out. So I don't know anything about it other than I remember a stampede and the obvious beats and tragedies. And I remember really liking Pumbaa a lot. So if they do Pumbaa right in this movie, I might like it.
Which, from everything that I read, the Timon and Pumbaa, and I can't remember which one is which.
But Pumbaa is the warthog.
Okay. Apparently when they revealed the character poster, he scared people because he looks like a warthog, which is cute and cuddly.
They're pretty tough looking.
But he's Seth Rogen and the Timon is Billy Eichner.
So. That does sound pretty good.
So that's pretty good. But going back, kind of got off track here. Going back to hyping in films and knowing about movies, like we said, in our younger days, you didn't know anything about movies. Yeah. Now, you know, as soon as a movie gets a release date, which often gets a release date before it gets a script and whatnot, which I think is kind of bass-ackwards to filmmaking, but we know when the movie's coming out, who's writing it, who is starring in it, what character. We pretty much know every beat. You know, you'll see on-set photos during the making, with the exception of probably two filmmakers, Christopher Nolan and J.J. Abrams. I mean, J.J. Abrams, not counting the Star Wars movies, but the Cloverfield films all came out of nowhere. No one knew, you know, they were even being talked about. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, here's a trailer. And the last one was like, oh, yeah, here's a commercial during the Super Bowl, and it's available tonight. You know.
Yeah. No, J.J.'s the master of that. Great teasers. Mm-hmm.
So I was going to say, the main topic that we were going to try to hit on today is, do you think there's too much information, and you kind of did allude to this earlier, where because we know everything about a movie before it comes out, or everything about a TV show, we build up the hype in our own mind. Like, we write the story ourselves, and then when we see the film, if it doesn't follow exactly what we thought it would, well, then we complain online, because that's what the purpose of the internet is.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think this isn't going to be a great answer, but I think it does depend on the movie and how they're marketing it. So I actually like the seduction and dance that they do with the audience. So JJ does a great job with Star Wars. Even Star Trek just showed him like wanting or getting in trouble and then like aspiring to be a captain or whatever. And they just flashed a lot of stuff. So I kind of like the trailers as long as they just flash abstract stuff and we can't connect the dots. I know JJ also like edits stuff out of sequence, which fools the audience. So he's very aware of how that manipulates people. I know with the new Star Wars movie that's coming out, Rise of Skywalker, the Vanity Fair has a bunch of pictures of the characters. Kind of wish I didn't see that, because now I'm just going to be waiting on that. And I won't spoil all that stuff. And another example of where, like, I'm a huge Godzilla fan, so I was very excited about every second. But I had seen 30 other Godzilla movies, so they weren't going to surprise me with showing Mothra and Ghidorah, Rodan. I was just basically wanting to see what they look like. So there wasn't much of an inherent surprise. It was more like, let me just see these things I've already seen before. But in one of the clips, and anyone who hasn't seen Godzilla can just kind of mute the podcast right now. In one of the clips, they show Burning Godzilla, which is a huge reveal in the movie and in the series. And I was really annoyed by that. Like, you show like his final toughest form and you just showed it in the trailer. So now I got to see Godzilla on fire and all that. And he's totally different than he normally is. And like, why show that? That's the big moment in the movie at the end. Mm-hmm. So again, I kind of wish they were just showing stuff to get us intrigued, but not showing us like major reveals of the movie. So it's a dance, but sometimes they screw it up.
Do you think it would be wise to, because I know this is something Hitchcock used to do, shoot trailer-specific material.
Yeah.
And don't show anything that's actually in the movie. And I know there's the trailer for Rogue One, I believe, had this shot where Jen Erso is out on the bridge and the TIE fighter comes up in front of her.
That's not in the movie.
Do you think that would be more exciting, or do you think people would be upset because if you show this awesome scene, that's, then you go to the movie expecting it and it's not there? Will that disappoint people?
I don't think so. I mean, I think they're doing a pretty good job. I mean, I think the audiences, because I think movie theater attendance isn't what it used to be, I think they're a little desperate. So they're trying to show everything they can to kind of get you to go to the movie theater. So I would prefer they showed less. I think you brought up Nolan, which is a perfect example. Like, have you heard of his new movie? Have you heard that that was, he had a teaser in front of Hobbs and Shaw? Did you hear about that?
I've heard about it. I didn't see the trailer, and I haven't read anything because I am not a huge Christopher Nolan fan, so this doesn't interest me.
Okay.
But yes, I know that he has a new trailer that no one knew he was even working on a film.
Yeah, so this plays right in our topic of how good he is about getting you worked up about something, and then you can't make sense of what he's showing you. So I won't spoil it for the audience, but I actually tracked down a leaked version from someone who was at Hobbs and Shaw, and it was getting pulled left and right, so it took me like an hour to find it. And I saw it, and I was like, wow, that was really interesting. And now I'm, like, super excited to see it. But I can't get any meaning out of the trailer. So he knows how to do it. But that's why he's Nolan, and other people are having to show everything because they're not Nolan. And maybe they're just showing stuff, just trying to grab you any which way. Nolan creates an intrigue. Mm-hmm. Other people are more like, we need something. So if you're in this demographic, you like this scene in the movie. If you're a romantic, maybe you'll like this moment. So they are showing too much. I mean, and don't show three or four trailers before the movie comes out. I'd say one or two. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think the problem with trailers is they are kind of taking a two and a half hour movie now and condensing it down to 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. Whereas I would think if you have a good story, show only scenes from the first act. Just enough to give me the premise of the film, you know, show me who's in it, and maybe a little bit of action if it's an action movie, a little bit of drama. Drama, but something where you're not telling me the entire story, because if I feel like I've already seen the entire story, why do I want to go and spend 2.5 hours at a theater?
No, you're absolutely right. I think you actually hit on with one of your previous comments what I'm more concerned about with trailers is that you're expecting a scene. So I mean, this may have happened in Endgame. I thought the Endgame marketing was a little weird. I thought Infinity War was a better movie and the marketing was better. Endgame felt like they just had to get it out and they were showing us everything. And you could have guessed most of it anyway, but I would have, with Endgame, I would just have teased it because the hype was sky high. So I don't know why they were showing so much. Mm-hmm. And like you said in an earlier comment, if you show a scene in the movie that looks great, you're just going to wait for that scene to play out. And I'm finding that's a problem because now that's sticking in my head. I'm not too worried about them giving away everything. It's more like, oh, well, now you just showed a big moment, and when's that? I'm just thinking about that in the back of my head. When is this going to come up in the movie? So quit inserting like these big reveals and iconic sequences. They may not give away the whole plot, but that imagery is kind of sticking too much for me. That's happening with the new Star Wars trailer. I'm already like, based on the beginning, when is that going to fit in? And I can't wait to see it. But then when I see it, I'll already know what's happening because I've already seen the image. So less is more for sure. So I'm okay with them releasing trailers, but I do think they need to show less. Yeah. I think we're in agreement there.
Yeah, I think the Endgame trailer, all you had to do is flash up the A symbol, put a date, people are going to be there.
Why don't they do that? Why don't they just do that? It'll create even more hype.
Because people will be more curious about what is in the film.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't show it. Infinity War did have, in its teaser, in its trailer, it showed Hulk running around fighting. But then in the movie, he's in the Hulk Buster suit because he can't transform.
Can't become the Hulk.
Yeah. So I can kind of go with that where you don't want to do that reveal, so you insert something. I mean, when your entire scene is nothing but crafted in a computer anyway, it's a little easier to do.
Yeah.
And same way, I think after Last Jedi, J.J. has to try to get the Star Wars fans back on board. So he has to show them something, whereas this should have been the same way, where you just put Episode 9, December 2019, and you could have got people there.
Yeah, maybe you flash 3 moments, mm-hmm. but not 20 moments. So it's overkill, and I'm not sure if the audiences are demanding it. Yeah. I do know that what I don't like are all, speaking of spoiling something or showing too much, whether it's in a trailer or something else, a lot of the websites are really making me upset because they're trying to get the jump on something as it's being made. And they're interviewing filmmakers. And like you said, they're showing set photos. And they're trying to break a story first.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's in my feed and I can't even avoid it. It's like Christopher Nolan describes why this you know, this person has to travel back in time. And I'm like, I didn't even know. This is just an example. Huh. I didn't even know this person was traveling back in time. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
When's the movie coming out? 6 months? Like, who, like, all these websites are just kind of bottom feeders, and they're just trying to, like, spoil or, like, break news.
It's clickbait. They have to do, get something for you to click on,
You're like, you'll never believe. So I am heavily, heavily interested in the Joker movie. Mm-hmm. And now Todd Phillips is issuing statements about whether this is the real Joker or not. And then all these websites are talking about they just saw it and he's going to win an Oscar. And it's like, slow down a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, all this needs to happen after October when it comes out. And all this commentary before the movie combined with the trailers, which I actually think the Joker trailer is a masterwork of what we were talking about, not showing too much, but teasing you. I'm a little bit worried about the second Joker trailer, though. Like, once you get past the teaser, then they start messing with your mind and ruining the movie a little bit. So maybe you just watch the teaser, see some random stuff, and then jump out and see if you're interested. Avoid the rest.
Yeah, going back to our youth, I remember watching, like, Entertainment Tonight, and there was a show on Nickelodeon. I don't know if you ever watch it. It was called Lights, Camera, Action. It was hosted by Leonard Nimoy. And it was, I think it focused more on, like, special effects stuff. But those shows would not, when they would show scenes from a movie or do a story on a film, it was when the movie was coming out. Like, obviously, they'd shot, you know, months ahead of time during shooting, but they held off until it was time to promote the film. Whereas now, like you said, all these websites are, because they want the traffic created by the articles.
The clicks.
Yeah, they're releasing all this information, which, like you said, it doesn't need to come out until after. Like, let the audience see the movie. Like, you can build up the hype for the film or the anticipation just by saying, hey, Todd Phillips is directing Joker. And, you know, with a character like Joker, I would say maybe say, like, not, you know, they could have the disclaimer. This is not the Joker you're used to, or, you know, something along those lines. But it, when they go into, like, all the minutia of the film and the character and all the stuff, and if you read it beforehand, if then you go into the movie with all that preconceived opinion, which I don't think helps.
And I'm lucky in one regard that when I go to movie theater, I basically revert to being a kid on a big screen. I can't figure anything out. I can't really guess a lot of plot points. I'm actually just there for the experience. So I'm very naive moviegoer. When I watch at home, I'm probably a little bit more focused on what's going on. When I'm at a movie, I generally just have fun. And a lot of that stuff washes away, believe it or not, from the marketing and the trailers. The problem is that there's a lot of people out there that set their expectations to the movie. In fact, I already think Joaquin's going to win the Oscar, so I'm being sucked into this. But for the most part, I can put that aside. But what if you're somebody who watches Endgame, and I saw all these people posting on Facebook, and they're like, this is going to be the best movie ever made. I can't wait. I'm calling in sick to work. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, settle down. I'm going to see it a couple times. I know it's going to be pretty layered or whatever. And I was able to put that away a little bit. But what if your expectations are being set too high or too low, and you end up watching the movie and you don't have an open mind, and it's a good movie but not as great as you thought it was, or you thought the movie was going to be bad and actually turned out to be pretty good? Like, how about being surprised a little bit? So I don't know what kind of trick you have to play on yourself, but these are setting expectations for some viewers, and they're not able to break out of that, which makes them enjoy the movie less.
Yeah, and you have people online, and again, this is all trying to get attention and views and whatnot, but who will go through a trailer and break it down frame by frame and try to be like, oh, did you see this? And this means this. And it's like, where is the enjoyment then? And I'm like, I'm with you. I don't go into a film trying to guess. I want to be surprised at the end. I don't want to sit in the first act and be like, oh, well, clearly the butler did it. If, you know, it's like, I just want to enjoy it. And that's, I'll go back to Dora and The Lost City of Gold. Had no expectations for this film when it was announced because I've never watched the show. Saw the first trailer before Shazam. And I was like, this looks just like a movie that I would have enjoyed as a kid. Hmm. And so when I went and saw it, I kind of reverted back into that mentality. Yeah. You know, I wasn't sitting there going like, okay, as a, you know, 45-year-old adult, let me break down and look at characters. It's just like, I want to have fun with this film. And there were a lot of kids in the audience that were laughing and enjoying it. And,
well, good.
And obviously, again, having not seen the show, I am vaguely familiar, but I don't know all the beats of Dora. And they play, I think they did a really good job of playing into the TV tropes and kind of making it a joke at the beginning of the film and then going into the movie. But yeah, I was just there to have fun. I wanted to enjoy myself.
Yeah, and who knows? Like, maybe if it, I don't know if it'd be this movie necessarily, but I think if it's something you really care about, and maybe I should start doing this with Star Wars, and I don't think I should have read this Vanity Fair article. Well, my wife was very nice to bring the magazine home. I collected both of them, and now I'm like, oh man, I know all these characters, and I'm not going to spoil some of them because I don't think you've read the article.
No.
And I don't want to spoil it here, but I'm kind of like, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. And especially if it's something you really care about, maybe keep your distance. If it's something like these Shia LaBeouf movies you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is it LaBeouf or LaBeouf? I never know. Whatever. We know what we're talking about. That's a way of discovering something brand new. And you probably only get one. Mm-hmm. You only get one trailer. Cool. I'm there. But if it's something big, I think I need to start holding back a little bit based on this talk and just a lot of ruminating on my own. Because I am kind of knowing too much going in. And then some of the scenes are falling flat. Because they're playing out the way the trailer showed them. That's a big problem. You shouldn't have a 10-20 second scene of someone lifting up their rifle and sizing up a protagonist. And then in the movie, they lift up their rifle and size up a protagonist. You're like, I just saw this. Like, what's going on here? Like, just show some introductions and get out on the trailer. Like, just tease it.
Yeah. And I think the fact that most trailers now run 2 minutes and 20 seconds, as I think that's the maximum length of time, but I think they can cut that down.
Yeah.
Namely, also because when I go to a movie and there are like five or six trailers before the film, I don't need 20 minutes of I want to get into my film, especially if a film is running 2 hours or more, or, you know, in a case of Endgame, 3 hours. I don't need an additional 20 minutes of non-movie material.
Yeah, they got to stop doing that because the audiences there are stuff is so specific. We may not all even enjoy these trailers. Mm-hmm. And if you're worried as a movie theater chain about people not enjoying the experience, don't lengthen the experience. So make it so it's like we're starting. Like, so I just saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I can recommend that movie wholeheartedly. Have you seen it?
I have.
Okay. We can talk about that another time. But that trailer was not good for that, by the way, and it showed too much. But what I liked about that is that, A, it was shown in film, which I was not expecting at this particular movie theater. B, they didn't show any trailers at all because I think he asked for that. So the movie just started.
Where did you see it? Just out
Culver City ArcLight.
Okay. Yeah. The film, this 35 or 70 millimeter screens did not have trailers. The digital prints did.
Oh, that was the best. Cause I was like, oh, they have dual projectors here. And I love that it was a 35 millimeter. I mean, obviously he shoots everything film. So glad I could see it in 35. I think there's 70 showings, but he didn't shoot it in 70, at the ArcLight dome. Anyways, I was so happy there was not trailers before the film. This goes back to this whole discussion. You can just find these things on YouTube. You don't need to bore us with these at the movie theaters unless it's something, okay, Star Wars, maybe I always want to see that on a big, I get excited seeing footage on a big screen, but I see those at conventions as well. So even though I'm playing into the hype and we were talking about Comic-Con, I'm not reading every article about the Joker right now because I want to be surprised a little bit, but I'm heavily interested in it. So,
and going back to Comic-Con, cause I remember probably about 5-6 years ago, when I had attended Comic-Con, I was riding the train back to the parking lot to my car, and there's a guy sitting across who was, I don't know how many times he'd been to Comic-Con, it may have been his first, but he was really excited, and this was when Heroes was on TV.
Yeah.
And granted, you know, you and I both work in the entertainment industry, so we're kind of different viewpoints. But this guy was like, oh my gosh, this was so amazing. And they'd shown like the first episode of the upcoming season. He's like, you know, how often do you get to see a show before it actually airs? And me, I'm like, pretty much every day when I go to work, I can see something. But for these fans that come to the conventions that want to see this, do you, having gone to many conventions yourself and watched stuff, do you think it helps build a fan base by showing these, you know, episodes ahead of time? Or I know, like, going back to Kevin Smith for the Jay and Silent Bob panel, he showed a scene from Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, which takes place at Chronic Con. Or do you think that's also still building up the expectation or showing too much to get before the final product is out?
Yeah, that's a good question. What I've always liked about the conventions is that it's a social thing. So when I think the celebration in Chicago, the Star Wars celebration, was just fantastic. And that the fan base was fractured, obviously. It needed to heal a little bit. And the actor, Ahmad Best, who played Jar Jar, got a standing ovation. Kelly Tran, I think we may have talked about that. And then they had shown some footage, you know, advanced stuff of the new movie, the first appearance of the trailer in The Mandalorian as well, in another panel. And what I liked about that is that we're all there and we're getting worked up about it. I mean, they're pretty much playing to the room that they need to play into, they're playing for. But we all get to talk about it before, during, and after. And because we know the world, there is a specific interest for me going, what do you think's going on here? And it, but then when I watch the movie, it's just, I'm going to forget about all of it. But I do like that conjecture and that hype going into a movie. So I still like that particular seduction. I'd say for stuff I'm not as interested in, stuff out of convention, I really just want a little taste of it because I don't really know what that movie's going to be. So if I don't know, I want that surprise to be there. For Star Wars, there's no surprise because they hit on the same themes they've always hit into. They're recycling the same things, the same characters. So I'm more or less interested in the little minutia of what's going on. For the Joker, I'm trying to stay away from it because I don't exactly know what's going on. But I do like the convention that you can kind of talk to like-minded fans and come up with your own ideas. That's part of it. But that's not the same as like watching a trailer in a movie theater. Because in that case, you're forced into watching it. So when I watch a Star Wars trailer at a Star Wars convention, I'm winning a lottery and signing up for that. If you're in a movie theater and there's a movie you want to watch, do you get up and walk out while the trailer's playing so you don't know? No. They're kind of forcing it on you. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not asking for that.
Yeah, I mean, you can show up later, right before the movie would start. But yeah, you're there, you want to get settled in, you want to enjoy. I'm going to repeat myself. Trailers are too long. They show too much. But with the exception of Joker, which you've talked about before, and Star Wars, because I will end on a Star Wars question regarding spoilers. Is there a trailer that you have recently seen for a film that you weren't familiar with or anticipating that you are now looking forward to? Obviously, other than the Shia LaBeouf movie as well.
Oh, there's one called... Oh, so what I do, and I think I mentioned this, is I go on iTunes trailers, and I love that they have all these small films, medium and large as well. And I'm like, what is that? And then the ones that win awards, and I'll admit it, I get sucked into this. The ones that win awards or has a particularly, a director I've never heard of before, or maybe a great actor in a movie I've never heard of before. There's one called Manos that I would suggest everyone check out. And basically within 10 seconds, I'm like, I'm seeing this movie. So they're showing all this random, kind of, they'll say this remind, basically they were saying in the movie, the trailer, that some of the people that were reviewing the movie after it came out or won an award at a film festival were saying, this is just like Apocalypse Now. And I was like hooked right there. And then all the imagery was absolutely stunning and incredible. So this, I believe it's this Spanish filmmaker. And there's no way I can remember his name. But so this is a film called Manos. And I watched it for 2 minutes and I loved every single scene in it. And it came out of nowhere. So there's no way I was going to hear about this movie unless someone I know had seen it. Or I clicked on trailers and just looked at what was new. So this really blindsided me. So I suggest you check it out. It's called Manos. And it's some weird stuff going on in the jungle. And has to do with paramilitary. And apparently it's kind of like Apocalypse Now.
And it's not a sequel to Manos, Hands of Fate.
No, it looks better than that, believe it or not.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah, M-O-N-O-S, Manos. Manos. But yeah, okay. That's a trailer that really worked for me.
All right. I'm going to throw in one more question. I'm going to put you on the spot here. What is the best trailer you've ever seen?
Oh, that's so good. I'm a huge fan of JJ, so... Oh, any of the Force Awakens trailers were so good because of how they saved Harrison Ford for that. I do like the Star Trek 2009 trailer a lot. Especially because they contacted some guys to make the music for it, so they scored the trailer differently than the actual movie. That's a good question. I'm going to have to say anything JJ puts out. Yeah. Cloverfield is another great example. So, and anything from Nolan. The Interstellar trailer. So the Interstellar trailer, I saw at the Comic-Con. No one knew he was going to be there. And he showed the trailer where they show the Dust Bowl thing happening. And then everyone knows the trailer after that where they just show a little bit of the spacecraft and that weird robot and this huge tidal wave. And it's all this random imagery. The Interstellar trailer is a huge fan of. And, of course... any of the Dark Knight trailers, the second movie. Okay. So yeah, no, anything Nolan, JJ, but I will say The Force Awakens is like one of my most favorite new trailers.
Okay.
Newer.
Okay, well, speaking of JJ, I think this is a good place to end the show then. Rise of Skywalker.
Day one.
Teaser trailer comes out. The very end of the trailer, there is a reveal that I don't think anyone expected.
I was in Chicago. I was there for that.
What was your reaction? Is that something that you think they should have saved, or is it something that you think will interest people to see the movie more? And I guess spoilerish, is it something you're looking forward to?
Oh yeah, well, you know, that's day one for me.
Well, I meant the reveal at the end.
The reveal, I felt like they had to do that because where the fan base was at, and because of Rian Johnson had run afoul with some of those fans, I think JJ needed to come out with a home run trailer, most importantly. And then, yes, he pulls that out a little bit early, you know, out of his bag of tricks, but that created such a buzz that people are still, there's still YouTube things where they're still talking about it. So this whole thing that they did at the end, I'm assuming people have seen this, or should we not reveal it? Let's just stick with the theme of and not reveal too much, but I love that he did that because it created the hype that Star Wars needs and deserves. And I do use the word deserve because it's an historic property. So I was a huge fan of it because it basically dropped my jaw when I was watching it, and I grabbed my wife and I was like shaking her. So yeah, I was pretty excited about it.
Okay. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Positive Cynicism. Let us know what you think about trailers. Again, you can find me on Twitter at Chad Smart. You can go to Facebook, Positive Cynicism. Let us know what some of your favorite trailers are. If you think trailers are too long, give too much away. We just want to know what you think. So let us know. And as always, question everything, do something positive.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.